Welcome to the 5 Series, a series for teens and college students with the objective of reflecting over the 5 pillars of Islam in a really beautiful and concise manner and answering questions that we all have about our faith. To continue efforts like this, visit rootsdfw.org/sustainyouth and help us create more content just like this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us.
Okay. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, as-salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, everyone. Welcome back to our Wednesday edition, our final episode of the week for the 5 series, alhamdulillah. This is now episode 10 that we're on. We've officially hit double digits. This is actually a pretty cool accomplishment by the entire Roots community that we've been able to so far do 10 episodes of just kind of going through the foundations of our faith and also benefiting from it, learning more about it. I always say, you know, a lot of times, you know, we as Muslims, we try to kind of jump through the foundations and the ground floor, if you will, of our spiritual understanding. And we try to like go towards like the really intricate, really detailed aspects of our religion. But the issue is that when you don't have that foundation solidified, oftentimes we find those details much more harder to comprehend and understand. This is why, you know, people like train for like months and years on basics, and they do the advanced much later in life, right? I mean, there's so many narrations of like people, even Islamically, like studying Arabic for years before they dive into like studying fiqh or studying aqidah or studying like, you know, sirah or Quranic tafsir or all those different things, right? People will be like doing the basic studies before they go to anything advanced, which is kind of beautiful, right? And there's always beauty in that. So today, inshallah, as you can see on your screen, what we're going to be doing today is reflecting over the topic of, it's a very philosophical topic if you think about it. It's something that I'm sure a lot of us have asked at a certain moment in our lives. You know, a lot of us have thought of this. Maybe we haven't, you know, vocalized it out loud or, you know, asked anybody personally, but it's something that runs through the mind of a human being quite often in their lifetime. And that is the question, why do bad things happen? And to make it even more personal, we can, you know, even say, why do bad things happen to me? Okay, I'm a good person, right? I try to do as much good as I possibly can. I know that I slip up once in a while, but usually in my life, I do my best in being a good Muslim, right? God knows that we can always do better. And I think everyone can always be better in anything that they do. But, you know, what happens when we feel that, you know, we're not terrible people, but it seems like life is hitting me really hard all the time, right? I can't catch a break. I mean, how many of you guys have honestly felt that you just cannot catch a break in life? Like, no matter how hard you try, there's always something, you know, hitting you from a direction that you didn't see it coming from, right? You were really happy one day. Things started to kind of like start getting aligned for you. And then all of a sudden, like Thursday comes and wham, right? Like something happens and it just completely catches you off guard. So one of the things that I wanted to ask everyone to focus on today, and this is going to be the question that starts off, and I'll do my little typing thing here, is the question is, if the Prophet was talking to you, what would he say is a blessing in your life that he didn't have? This is a very, very interesting question because it's going to require us to really, really think very deeply because, you know, a lot of us are like, astaghfirullah, you know, like whatever, you know, whatever we have, the Prophet ﷺ had it much better. You know, he obviously was more appreciative of it. But the reality is that there are so many, you know, blessings that are apparent today in our lives that the Prophet ﷺ, he actually didn't have in his life. And one of the only ways to really appreciate what's around you is by doing some like pros and cons and contrasting and comparing as to what experiences really are. So one of the questions I want everyone to focus on, so look at your screen right now, at the bottom of your screen, if you're on Instagram or if you're on Facebook, you can see it on your screen right now, is if the Prophet ﷺ was with you or he was talking to you, what would he say is a blessing in your life that he didn't have? Okay, a blessing in your life that he did not have. I can, from the top of my head, think of like 3 or 4 automatically. I'll say one right now would be the blessing of parents. Okay. A lot of people actually overlook this, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he actually didn't have experiences, too many experiences with his parents. Well, he for sure didn't have too many. He didn't have any experiences with his father, right? He never met his father. His father passed away 2 months before he was born. His mother lived only up until he was 6 years old, she passed away. So the Prophet ﷺ didn't have many experiences with his own parents. And so, you know, think about that terminology, you know, think about that mentality. Like, what are some blessings if the Prophet was talking to you? Literally, if Rasulullah ﷺ was sitting with you in front of you right now, what would be some blessings that he would tell you that you have in your life that he never had in his life? What would they be? Right? Let's think about this a little bit as we kind of go forward today, inshallah, with our conversation. So the first step of understanding, why do bad things happen? Or why does difficulty, you know, befall us, is number one, the scholars say, to understand the nature of this world. That's the first and foremost thing that we all have to understand, is what is the nature of this world? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he actually, you know, clarifies this in the Quran several times. He says, number one, that, you know, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ, right? That we, verily, we have created humanity, mankind, into hardship. We have created mankind into challenge and difficulties and trials. You know, in Arabic, when, you know, Allah says the word fi, right? Well, he actually uses multiple forms of emphasis in this ayah. He says laqad, first and foremost, means like verily, absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, right? Laqad khalaqnal insana fi, within struggle. We have certainly created mankind. We have verily created mankind into, immersed with, surrounded by this idea of struggle, all right? This life is embodied. It's exemplified by struggle. Every day is a struggle living on this earth, right? For a believer, it's almost like a nightmare sometimes, right? Because it seems like every day there's more and more things that make it difficult for you to be a devout believer, right? And Allah mentions that, right? That if you're a believer, if you're a person who really, really, truly is in heart attached to God, then you're going to have a difficult time living in this life. Right? There's a narration that actually said that this world is like a paradise for a non-believer, and it's a night and it's a struggle for those who believe. Why is it a paradise for people who don't believe? Because everything's here, right? You take what you want, you leave what you don't want, you fulfill your whatever desire that you have. You love money, chase it. You love, you know, lust and desire, chase it. You know, it's a paradise for people who don't believe. Right? It's whatever you want, free for all, do anything that you want to do. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. For a believer, on the other hand, this life is somewhat of a difficulty because you're told to withhold from so many things. I mean, how many of you guys growing up in school, and even in, you know, even if you're adults now, how many of you guys have, you know, felt that you had to restrain from so many things that you've wanted to do? You know, you felt out of place. You felt kind of like a stranger. You felt that you didn't really belong. You felt like you wanted to do certain things to fit in. There's so many things that we want to do that we don't really get to do because we have to restrain ourselves. And this is just the nature of this world. Allah Ta'ala, he says that you have to withhold, restrain, you know, have a little bit of self-control. And because of that, this world is an extremely difficult world to live in for some people, right? لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. Allah says in the second example, Allah says, ولكن ليعبو ولكن ليبلوكم في ما أتاكم. Allah says that surely that we will test you in what he has given you. Allah will test you with what he has given you. This is ma atakum. It's very interesting because Allah Ta'ala doesn't say that we'll test you. He says we'll test you ma min ma atakum, from what he has given you. And this is fascinating because, you know, a lot of times we say tests are things that we don't want. Tests are things that we don't like. Tests are things that we don't want to have anything to do with it. But sometimes Allah says, we will test you mimma atakum, with what we have given you. Because what we've given you is something that you want, what you like. And there's another narration in the Quran that she talks about, says that surely we'll test you in hunger. We'll make a test for you from your own money and from your own children. No one on earth is going to be like, oh yeah, money is horrible, right? Kids are terrible. Some of you guys might be like, you hate kids, right? The kids are terrible, right? Money is terrible. No one on earth says that, because we know that money, mal, and test, you know, and children are good for us, right? They're good things. They're blessings. They're like actual miracles. The fact that you can sustain yourself and have a good life and a happy life is it with the means of money and financial, you know, capability. That's a very huge blessing for a person. The fact that somebody can have kids is a huge blessing for them, right? The fact that you can literally have children of your own is a magnificent miracle. But Allah says that children and money are a test for you. Why? Because at one point in your life, they will test you. They will test you. The things that you love the most will test you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ فِي مَا أَتَاكُمْ that literally it's from things that He has given you that you want, that you like. How many of you guys have felt that you were tested by things that you love? It's almost like an oxymoron. It makes no sense. You're like, things that I love, I get tested by it? Like what? And you think about it, you're like, oh, parents. Oh, siblings. Oh, school. Oh, money, right? Friends. Oh my God, this is so true. Because that's the nature of this world. Even the things that you love will at some point in your life, some point or the other, become severe tests for you, right? They'll become severe tests for you, right? When you're a teenager, your parents are a severe test for you. You know, when you're like in college, your friends, you love your friends, but then you go through a lot of issues with your friends. When you grow up and you marry somebody, you're like, oh my God, that's the love of my life. I want to spend the rest of my life with them. And the moment you move in, you're like, oh my God, why do you leave laundry on the floor? And then you're like, okay, there's certain things about you that I have to work with, right? Like things are always going to test you like that. Things that you even love will test you, okay? And then you have kids and you're like, oh, wow, like kids are amazing. I can't wait to hold my own son or daughter. And then that thing's like crying in the middle of the night at 4 a.m. and you're trying to go to sleep before Fajr hits because you got to work at 7 a.m. Like, all of a sudden, what you love, what you wanted your entire life is a huge test for you. So Allah tells you that will test you from things that we have given you, okay? And then another example of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He actually says, and He kind of challenges the believers in this sense. He challenges us. He says, do the people think that they will be left to say, that they'll be able to say, أَحْسَبُ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا. He says, do the believers really think that they'll be left to say amanna, that we believe, wahum la yaftanun, like and you're not going to be tested? The believers really think that you can just say something like I believe and expect never to be tested by Allah? Because the believers are the people that are most tested by Allah. The believers are the people who are most often tested by God. That's the reality of your spirituality, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, like, do you think you can actually qualify yourself as a believer and not be tested? You know, this is like, and by the way, we believe that a believer is like the best of creation, right? Because we talked about this in the previous sessions, because Allah says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that we have created humankind and jinn to do nothing except to worship Allah, right? To worship nobody except Allah. And when you worship Allah, you're qualified as a mu'min, right? You're a believer. You qualify as a person who believes in one God. And Allah says, do you really think that you can be categorized as a believer and is that easy? You think being a Muslim is that easy? You think that, like, you know, and by the way, the end goal of a believer, or like the reward of a believer, is paradise. So Allah is saying, do you really think paradise is that easy? The ticket to paradise is not easy. It's difficult, man. It's terrible. The road is a nightmare sometimes for people. So, but do you really think that you can just say like, oh, I want to live in forever happiness when I finally finish off with my life on this earth, and you think it's going to be easy for you? No way. Absolutely not, right? وَهُمْ لَا يَفْتَنُونَ. Like, you don't think you're going to be tested? Absolutely you're going to be tested. You're going to be given trial after trial after trial, and sometimes you're going to feel like quitting. But that's to test who you are. That's to test who you really are. And the nature of this life, like we said, is that of a test. And this life will sometimes, you know, what's really interesting, guys, is that this life will sometimes try to convince you that it's not a test. It's really weird, right? Like, because if you're going to kind of give this life as like a general default of being a test or a trial, you know, but there are moments of this life that are very enjoyable. There are moments of this life that are extremely enjoyable, right? But aren't tests sometimes sort of easy? Right? Like, for example, if you've ever taken a test in school, right? If you're in high school or college, or even if you're like a young professional now, you've taken an exam or like a passing board exam or something like that, like a licensure or whatever it is. Aren't some of the questions on that test extremely easy? And you're like, wow, like I could do this in my sleep. Like, this section of the ACT is like, it's like child's play, right? Like it's like easy work. But then there's like the section called math that you're like, oh my Lord, like, why does it look like Latin to me? Like, I speak English and math looks like Latin, because actually it partially is, but like, you know, it's like something that you are just terrified by. So the reality is that this life is a test overall, and it's difficult, but there are moments that are easy. You know, there's even moments of tests that are somewhat enjoyable. You're like, oh, I kind of like this thing, right? Like, I like knowing what the answers to this test. I like having the feeling that I know what to do here. Yeah, because certain things in life for you won't be difficult, right? Look at somebody next to you. They may, whatever you are literally dying, struggling with is like an easy thing for the person next to you. Have you guys ever wondered that? Has there been anything in religion that's been easy for you? And I want you guys to actually answer this question right now. I want to see what people think about this. Have you ever thought to yourself that there's certain things in our religion that you find extremely easy sometimes? Like, what's very easy for you in our religion? What's very easy for you in our religion? I'll say one thing for me. One thing for me. Okay. I have never personally felt, alhamdulillah, nothing, you know, to negate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's, you know, will and his qadr, but I have never been tested with the idea of like feeling left out. Like, I've never felt like, oh, you know what, like, if I don't do this, I'm going to miss out, or I'm going to like lose out on a group of friends. Alhamdulillah, Allah has always given me this like courage to be like, you know what, if my friends don't like, you know, they don't care about me, then alhamdulillah, Allah will always replace them with another group of friends. But just because I think that way, and I wasn't tested with that, doesn't mean that another person that knows me is not going through that nightmare, right? For example, another person waking up for Fajr prayer may be extremely easy. Maybe extremely easy. Why? Because it's just like their nature to get up at like 6 a.m. in the morning anyway. They like to start their day early. For another person, Fajr might be a nightmare. You're like, oh my God, 5:45 every day? Right? Like 6 o'clock every day for the rest of my life? Are you kidding me? You tell me I'll never sleep in my life? Sometimes it's daunting for people. So not everyone's tests are going to be exactly the same. Not everyone's trial will be identical to the person that lives next to you, right? Everybody has a different thing. Somebody says something. Alishba says, it's easy for me to not feel the desire to drink or want. Very good. Very, very good. That's a great example. Alishba, thank you so much for being honest, honestly. You know, like she says that it's never been a desire for me to drink, you know, to drink alcohol or to kind of like, you know, feel a part of like a group of people like socially drinking and stuff like that. But you know what's real is that somebody that literally like lives 10 minutes away from you that's a Muslim, that might be their worst nightmare. That might be their biggest test of all time. Sinan goes fasting. Fasting has never been a test for me, right? It's something that's easy for me. But a person that you know, fasting may be the most difficult act of ibadah that they've ever gone through. Ever gone through. Food is like a desire for them. So for some people, fasting is like, oh, it's easy, right? Like another person right now, fasting is really easy for me. But have you ever talked to people who may not be Muslim? Actually, this is a good litmus test. Have you ever talked to a person who's not Muslim, who's not used to fasting, and they tell you, they're like, wow, really? That's something that you do like every year, 30 days a year. Like that's supposed to be simple. It might be a nightmare for certain people. Somebody says halal food. Very good. Good example. Halal food for certain people is like, nope, not doing it, dude. Chick-fil-A is God's chicken. Okay. Like I cannot not do Chick-fil-A, or I cannot eat only like halal. Like, you know, it's not, for some people it's difficult, right? Obviously that's kind of like a madhahib issue, right? It's like a kind of like an ikhtilafi thing, but like, you know, obviously there are certain things that are difficult for other people that are not difficult for you, and vice versa. And that's something that we have to really respect and understand, that, you know, be very understanding about people. Be very understanding and kind towards people's difficulties, okay? Now, one thing that I wanted to kind of touch upon here, which is very, very important, is that there is this kind of nuance. There's a nuance in culture, in society, and unfortunately, it's existent because I've talked to so many people about this, and I want to completely put it out on the table today so we can completely, you know, refute it, or we can at least bring some sort of understanding to it, is that if you go through trials and difficulties, right, we've laid the foundation that trials and difficulties are part of this world, right? It's a part of our lives. But, you know, we have this kind of notion in culture sometimes that if you're a person who's tried, you know, God is angry at you. God is upset with you. I mean, how many of you guys, I mean, you know, can't raise your hand on Instagram, but like, how many of you guys kind of feel that you've heard this before, or you've at least been familiar with this rhetoric before, that if you're going through difficulty, it's because you don't pray enough. If you're going through difficulty, it's because Allah is mad at you for not, you know, being better Muslims. Or if you're going through something difficult, that means that, you know, Allah's wrath is upon you, right? Like, you know, the anger, ghadab, you know, the anger of God has been bestowed upon you. How many of us have heard this message before? There's a very, very beautiful hadith that actually sheds a lot of light on this idea. And unfortunately, the reality is, you know, because of people's lack of understanding the religion itself, sometimes people try to teach other people through this method, through this idea that, like, if you're tested, then you're not doing enough as a Muslim. And this is not true, right? Obviously, the idea of tests and trials is a way of Allah bringing him closer to you. But what's the real meaning behind tests, right? What's the real meaning behind trials, especially if you're a person who knows that you're trying your best to be good, right? There's a hadith that actually said that there's a companion. He said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, you know, who are the most tested of all people? A genuine conversation he's having with his prophet. He says, Ya Rasulullah, who are the most tested of everyone? Just tell us. Like, you know, when we're tested, like, are we people that Allah loves or are we people that Allah hates? Because we got to get some clarity on why people are tested so much. So Ya Rasulullah, tell us, who are the most tested by God? And the Prophet, he says, the prophets are the most tested by Allah. The Prophet, he verified this. He goes, the prophets are the most tested by Allah. Number one, there's nobody on earth that you'll ever find through human history that's ever been tested more than a prophet, you know, ever. Talk about Muhammad, Ibrahim, Isa, Musa, Harun, Yusuf, Yunus, Idris, Hud, Nuh, Adam, you name it. These people were tested more than any human beings that have ever existed in the history of humanity. These were the people. And then they say, Ya Rasulullah, after them, who was tested? And the Prophet says, the people who are closest to them. The people who are closest to them, meaning the righteous, the pious, the companions, their friends, the people that used to follow them. Those are the people who are tested the most after the prophets. I mean, think about this, guys. Look at Bilal, man. Look at Bilal ibn Rabah. The moment that he says, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, this man's back was put against the heat of the Meccan soil, a rock placed on his chest, kept on being put pressure on it. And I mean, like, look at the light, look at that struggle that he went through. And you're telling me that the people that Allah tests are not people that he loves? Are you serious? Are you kidding me? Like, we have to look at these things. We have to actually really understand what we're saying here. And then, you know, the Prophet, he says, a person is tested according to his or her spiritual commitment. A person is tested in regards to his or her spiritual commitment. If he is steadfast, the Prophet says, istiqama, if he is steadfast in his spirituality, he will be tested more severely. Subhanallah. He says, if he is steadfast in his spirituality, he'll be tested even more severely than a person who's weak. Wow. And we're like, oh yeah, if I pray five times a day, and like if I fast during the month of Ramadan, and if I give sadaqah and charity, and if I abstain from desire, like my life is going to be great. The Prophet goes, no. He goes, if you're steadfast in your spirituality, the more severe your test will be, the more difficult your life will be. Subhanallah. You're like, wait, what? What, are you kidding me? Like, I'm praying five times a day, waking up at 6 a.m., throwing water on my face that like feels like ice water in the morning for some reason, then like fasting during the day, giving my money away for the sake of Allah and charity, you know, abstaining from desire and doing all these different things. And you're telling me that I'll be more severely tested by God? Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Because the Prophet goes, and if he or she is frail in their spirituality, then their test will be according to whatever level of spirituality that they're at. Their test will be according to whatever level of spirituality they're at. And the Prophet says, trials will continue to afflict a person. Tests and trials will continue to afflict a person until they leave him or her walking on earth with no sin on them. Trials will test a person until they will be left walking on this earth with not a single sin upon their shoulders. So one thing that we can get from this is that trials and tests and challenges and difficulties erase sin. They erase sin. It does not mean that Allah hates you. You know, in fact, there's another narration that actually says that, and this is from the same book of Hadith, that the Prophet says, the greatest reward comes from the greatest of trials. The greatest reward comes from the greatest trial, the Prophet ﷺ, he says. Okay? And he says, when Allah loves a people, he tests them the most. The greatest of rewards comes from the greatest of trials. Verily, Allah tests a people that he loves the most. He loves the most. And you know what is the most amazing thing about tests and trials? Is the one of our teachers, he taught us this, was very profound. He said, when you're a believer, you get tested more and you have more things to go through and more difficulty to endure through. But also when you're a believer, you're better at handling them. You're better at handling them, you know? Like, for example, when like LeBron James plays basketball, dude, like people double team him, triple team him, you know, like full court press this dude when he's bringing the ball up the court. There are so many things people do to LeBron James that they wouldn't do to like a walk-on or like a bench warmer. There's so many like methods of challenge they're going to throw at him that they won't throw at a guy that's not as experienced as him, that's not as good as him. But does that mean LeBron James' life sucks? No, man. He's like one of the greatest of all time. But what LeBron does really well is that he adjusts. He's good. He's so good that he's able to handle those tests. He's able to handle that pressure. Believers will be pressured, man. Believers will be pressured their entire lives. You'll get full court pressed by people. You'll get like double team, triple team by life. But you know what you'll also be really good at as a believer is you'll be good at handling it. Your stats will prove it. You'll be good at handling that difficulty in life. That's one of the most beautiful things about the test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us as believers, right? And another thing that we want to make sure that we do, and this is one of the last points that we'll make today, inshallah, is that we want to make sure that we're not people who blame Allah for things when it's actually a lack of our own understanding of actions and consequences, right? Because human beings are very quick to say, woe is me, right? Like, why is life happening to me? Or why is difficulty befalling me? Or why is this happening to me? But very few times do human beings actually say, what did I do that added to this difficulty? What decision did I make that was unwise that resulted in this consequence, right? And I remember I actually had a very, very really good conversation with somebody recently because somebody was mentioning the idea of like, you know, world hunger, right? If God is so merciful, why is there world hunger? If God really is so merciful, then why does poverty exist, right? These are very like philosophical, you know, it seems like a deep question, but the answer is actually really simple. Is there a shortage of food in the world? So like sincerely ask yourself, is there an actual shortage of food in this world? Wallahi, is there a shortage of food in this world? Look at the mass production of food. Restaurants, fast food industries, this, that, all that stuff, rich, you know, taking advantage of the poor. Is there really a shortage of actual food on this earth? No, there's not. If I would actually dare say, there's a surplus of food on this earth. There is an actual surplus of food on this earth. So why is there poverty on earth? It's because of the own greed and selfishness of humanity, right? We just want to make more money. How much food? Hey, you guys ever watched this? Have you guys watched, documentaries about like the restaurant industry, fast food industry, like different things that happen in the food industry world? You ever thought like, and I watched one and I couldn't do it because I almost like turned the TV off when I saw a scene of how much food restaurants and businesses and industries throw away at the end of the day. You know, like we have around 50 pounds of food at the end of our service day and we have to throw it all away because FDA regulation says that I have to throw it away. SubhanAllah, 50 pounds of food. You know how much 50 pounds of food could do to a community that's impoverished? You know how much 50 pounds of food could do to like a place like Syria and Philistine and Burma and parts of Africa and China and impoverished areas around the world? You know how much 50 pounds of food could do? Did Allah not provide those 50 pounds of food to people? What stopped it? Humanity. We cannot blame Allah for our own dumb decisions. We cannot blame Allah for the decisions that we decide to take upon ourselves. We cannot say, oh, there's world hunger, there's poverty in the world, there must not be a God, when you at the end of the day are like a business owner throwing away food. We can't do that. It's completely unfair and illogical. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has never given this world a limitation of food, especially nowadays. We have like a surplus of resources, but it's to our own greed, our own vanity, our own egotism, our own obsession with our own selves and our own money and our own wealth and our own pride and our own statuses that actually leave people at the end of the day on the streets and hungry. It's our own decisions. It's not Allah. Allah gave us that food. We are the ones who don't utilize that resource, right? So we can never allow us to think, or allow ourselves to think that, oh, woe is me. Allah is cursing me and Allah is angry with me, when it's actually a decision that we made that we actually eventually have to sow, right? There's like a saying, a famous, very famous nuance in English, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. You have to take responsibility over certain decisions that you make, right? And this is a very, very true principle, all right? And then the last thing we'll mention here today is that there is this concept of good versus evil, right? Or good versus bad in this life, okay? But one thing we have to remember is that everything is not always as it seems, okay? Everything is not always as it seems, because there's an ayah in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ, okay? وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ. Okay, Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun. Allah says that perhaps there's something that is good for you and you hate it. Perhaps there's something in your life that you really hate that's actually good for you. Okay, wa asa an takrahu shay'an wa huwa khayrun lakum. Like, you hate it with your heart, but it's actually good for you. And then wa asa an tuhibbu shay'an wa huwa sharrun lakum. And there may be something in your life that you love that's actually bad for you, right? As a human being, subhanAllah, like our vision is so limited. Our vision is so limited. If you think about it, right? You know, it's almost like a picture, right? You see like a picture, you see like a 16:9 ratio picture in front of you. And a human being is only able to see one pixel of that picture. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees the entire screen. You know, we see a small little bit of it and Allah sees the entire screen. There's a narration that actually says that if, you know, if the knowledge of Allah was equal to like the ocean, you know, our knowledge would be like if you dipped a pen into the ocean and you lifted it up and like a drop of water fell off of the tip of the pen back into the ocean. That's our knowledge versus the knowledge of Allah. Can you imagine? And there's so many things in our life that we like just go ahead and diagnose as bad because like we don't like it, right? Oh man, like, you know, this relationship is bad because it's testing me and I don't like it. No, man, that friend's probably good for you. Probably just told you something you didn't want to hear, right? You know, oh man, like, you know, this thing is bad, right? Because it's, you know, it's hurting me. No, man, it's growing pains. You got to go through that thing, right? You know, this is like the most relevant thing when, you know, somebody's like going through a really tough time. Like, you know, for example, like somebody gets fired, right? From jobs, somebody gets fired or laid off from work. You know, oh, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. Some people actually say something, this is one of the best things that ever happened to me, man. Sometimes it's one of the best things that ever happened to me. It made me realize that, like, I need to do something other than this. These people don't value me, man. I need to do something else with my life, right? And then Allah says, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ. And you may love something that's actually bad for you. Have you ever went through that before? Like, oh, I love this thing, right? It's so awesome. Like, it makes me feel so happy. And then, but what's happening? You're missing prayers. Every day, you're missing prayers. You're neglecting your family, right? SubhanAllah, this is not to like kind of like, you know, oust anybody or embarrass anybody, but I remember I had a conversation with a young person. Obviously, like, you know, my official position at Roots is a youth director, college teacher, youth teacher, whatever you want to call it. I remember I had a session, kind of like a back and forth one-on-one session with one of our young Muslims in the community. And they were saying, you know, I'm so happy, you know, they're in a relationship and they're trying to like seek some advice, you know, if this relationship is halal or haram. And I was telling them, I was like, well, you know, let's not talk about halal or haram, but like, how has it affected you? And they're like, oh, it makes me so happy, right? It makes me so happy. I'm like, okay, it makes you happy. That's alhamdulillah, right? But, you know, what's the problem? I just kind of picked his brain, right? Like, well, everyone else is upset. Everyone else around me is really upset. And I'm like, why is that? You know, like, well, first of all, they don't agree with it. They don't think it's good for me. And number two, they feel like I don't spend time with them anymore. And I'm like, okay, what else? And they say, well, and number three, they realize I just never come out of my room anymore. I'm like, okay, what else? And I'm like, well, like my parents complain that I don't pray with them anymore because I used to pray with them all the time before. I said, okay, what else? On and on and on and on. They say, well, that it makes you feel good though, right? Yeah. But all the other things in life are not lining up? No. SubhanAllah, right? There may be things that you love temporarily that are actually really bad for you. There may be things that you cherish that you think that are really, really good that are actually not good for you, right? The good versus bad in Islam spiritually is always a very interesting conversation, y'all. It's a very interesting conversation. You know, like we admit at the end of the day, Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamu, that Allah knows everything while you know nothing. It's so true, you know. And the best way of really truly appreciating what's good for you or what's bad for you is getting sincere advice from people who you trust and who really, really love you, right? People who you really trust, who really, really love you. Because sometimes truth hurts. Sometimes truth hurts. We may be doing something that we love, but the truth is something that's going to like make us upset because like, oh, you know, like it's hurting me right now. Like what you're telling me is hurting me because I really love doing what I'm doing. Always get advice from the people that really, really love you and you truly trust, right? There's another narration, something we'll end with, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that, Allah says, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِي قَلْبَهُ وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. Allah says, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. No disaster strikes except without the permission, except with the permission of Allah. Min musibatin illa bi'idhnillah. No disaster or calamity strikes without the permission of God. Every disaster, every calamity that has ever struck this earth has been with the permission of Allah Ta'ala himself. And then Allah says, وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِي قَلْبَهُ. He says, and whoever believes in Allah, he will guide his heart. You know what this ayah really means right here, y'all? This ayah means that when disaster strikes, you have one of two responses. You have one of two responses when disaster strikes. One response is, oh, why did that happen? That sucks. Oh my God, God is so unfair. This life is so terrible. Why did this happen? That's so not cool. These people are going through so many different things. I'm going through so many different things. Why did this calamity hit us? That's number one. Number two is, this happened for a reason. I don't know the reason. I may never know the reason, but there is a reason from Allah. And I will find some silver lining in this calamity and it will help me get closer to Allah. That's the second response. Because when Allah says that every calamity happens bi-idhnillah, with his permission, and then he says, and whoever believes, وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ, whoever believes in him, يَهْدِي قَلْبَهُ, he will guide his heart. That the believer, a believer is one that when they go through calamity, they somehow, some way, get closer to God. That's a believer. That somehow, some way, a believer will get closer to Allah after calamity. Look at COVID, y'all. Look at COVID. How many lives has COVID destroyed? How many people has COVID killed? How many jobs have people lost because of this pandemic? Now you can say, you know, God is unjust and God is mean and God is terrible to me and God hates me, you know, which will lead you to almost believe that God isn't even there. Or you could say, God tested me with this and I will find some reasoning within it and I will persevere through it because I believe him and nothing that befalls me on this earth will break my relationship with Allah. That's the second type of people. And that's the type of people that we truly want to be like. So how do you apply this? A couple of tips to end today, inshallah. Number one, understand that the nature of this life from a spiritual point of view is something that is always going to be a difficulty. Struggle, hardship, challenge, trials and tribulations. That's your spiritual understanding of this life. Tests are not always going to be difficult. There are going to be moments in your test that will be very easy. You may know certain answers to a test easily. But there are going to be moments in a test where you're going to be like, it's like a head scratcher. Like, I might need to skip this one real quick, right? Like, some tests will be like that, but there are moments in other tests will be like, it's easy, right? That's the nature of life. That's the nature of this world. This world is very imperfect. Number two, realize that struggle and difficulty does not mean God is angry with you. Please, 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 if anything you take away from today's session, please let's get this ingrained into our minds. That just because you're going through difficulty and trials does not mean that Allah hates you. In fact, it actually means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you and trusts you that you can handle this, you know? Loves you and trusts that you can handle this, okay? لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. There is not a test or a burden that befalls a person that they cannot bear. Allah does not test somebody with a burden that they cannot bear. Everybody's test is specific for them. That's number two. And number three is that not everything is as it seems. There are moments of beauty in every challenge that you go through. And I implore you, as a community member of yours today, go back after you're done listening to this session. Go back into your room, right? It's 6:41. There's still time for Asr. Do Asr Salah, or if you already prayed Asr, go when it's time to pray Maghrib, go and reflect. What are some of the moments in my life that I've already diagnosed as just bad? But now I kind of see, like, dude, there is a reason why that happened to me, right? I implore you to reflect on that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward us for all of our efforts and forgive us for all of our mistakes and our setbacks. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring about some beauty to the tests and trials that we go through. And may Allah azza wa jal make us of the people who He calls believers, who endure, who persevere, who have fortitude, who have patience, and who have perseverance and purpose to everything that we do in our lives. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. If anybody has missed any of the sessions that we've done live and in person here at Roots, you can easily just go to the Qalam podcast and you can find under the series called The Five, you can catch up on all the previous episodes that we've done over the past month and a half, inshallah ta'ala. You can listen to it in your car. You can listen to it while you're vacuuming up the house. You can listen to it while you're cooking your favorite dish. You can listen to it while you're working out, whatever you want to do. So inshallah, if you've missed any of the episodes here, go to the Qalam podcast on Spotify or on iTunes or on the Qalam podcast website. And you can listen to the previous sessions just like this one live on there as well. It's all in audio format. And hopefully, inshallah, it brings about some benefit. Wa jazakumu khairan wa iyakum, everybody. We appreciate you guys as always. And we love you guys for the sake of Allah. And we'll see you guys, inshallah ta'ala, next week on Monday for another episode of the Five series, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And tomorrow, if the weather permits, right now in Dallas, Texas, it's looking a little bit glim and gloomy. But inshallah, if weather permits, we are planning to go live with Soul Food tomorrow in person. The flyer is actually, and all the details are in the RootsDFW.org, the Roots account on Instagram and on Facebook. The flyer is posted there. The information is all there. All the protocol, the COVID pandemic protocol is all there. So inshallah, if you're interested, you're a college student, 18 and above, you're totally welcome to come and attend live and in person. Also, obviously, inshallah, weather permitting. But regardless of which, we'll see you guys sometime this week and next week. Wa jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.